sounds like it is. I'd like to welcome everyone to our services this morning.
For scripture this morning, I will be reading from Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. I know what is to be in need, and I know what is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in him, in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. May God bless the reading of his word. At this time, I'll turn it over to Pastor Galen.
We have been focusing on what it means to have fullness in Christ. And I love that image that I mentioned last week of a cup that you fill it and it continues to run over the top of the cup and spill out over everything. And that is an image of the fullness that we have in Christ. Or I also think about me as a child loving to play in the water hose, and my mother would say it's okay for you to go outside and play for just a little bit, and I would take that water hose and I would crimp the end of it, and I loved it when my thumb would be over the top. I would let that go and water would squirt everywhere, and that image is a powerful image as I think about filling up that pool that we had, that small pool, and letting the water overflow the top. It's an image of the fullness that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's a fullness that we can have if we have received Christ in our hearts and in our lives. We can have that kind of fullness in our lives. Amen. What I'd like us to do this morning is if you'd sing with me, we're going to do this a cappella. If I was with a group of kids, I would say you can make a peace sign. And even if you're not a kid this morning, if you want to make a peace sign, let's do this. Can you make a peace sign? And we're going to sing, I've got peace like a river. Would you sing with me? I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Let's do it again. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul, down in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Let's give God a hand this morning, can we? What a great job you did. You don't know what I'm going to do, but you go right along with it. So I really appreciate your willingness to follow me wherever I lead you. There's a story of a pilot who, when he was flying the plane, he always looked down at the same spot when he was flying. Every single time, this same exact spot, as he was flying his plane, he looked down and he would see a stream where people fished. Every time he was flying, he loved to look down at that spot. And here's what the pilot said. He said, when I was a little boy, I used to look up at the airplanes and wish that I was flying. And he said, now, when I'm grown and I'm flying this plane, I look down at that stream and I wish that I was fishing. You see, that pilot could not be content. And there are some people in this world who are never content. No matter what they have, they lack contentment. But it is possible to have true contentment. And here's what I want us to see today, that true contentment doesn't come from having lots of stuff. True contentment doesn't come from having plenty. Because in Philippians 4, verse 12, the passage that was read today from the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul says that there have been times in his life when he has been well fed. There has been times in his life when he has had lots of things. He has had plenty. But the Apostle Paul says that having plenty is not the secret to true contentment. Because you see, there are people in this world who have plenty. They have lots of stuff, but they are not content. I want you to raise your hand this morning if you remember an old TV show called The Honeymooners. Anybody remember that show? I got lots of hands. There's a man on that show. His name was Jackie Gleason. He's been passed away for quite some time. But he was the head star of that show. He was a famous actor. And he was a man who had lots and lots of money. He was famous. But at the end of Jackie Gleason's life, he did a television interview. Maybe you saw it. And in this interview, he was talking about all his fame and his fortune and all the things that he had in his life. And during that TV interview, he said that money couldn't fill the void in his life. He said, I have all this money, I have all this fame. I have the applause of many, many people, but it cannot fill the void in my life. And at the end of his life, Jackie Gleason admitted that he was rich with things, but he was empty. He had a void in his soul. You see, true commitment doesn't come from having a lot of stuff. True contentment doesn't come from having plenty. But here's what I also want us to see today, that true contentment can come even when we're in need. Even when we have nothing, we can be truly content. Paul says in Philippians 4 that he knows what it is to be in need. Paul knew what it was to have hard times. And he says that true contentment can come even in the midst of the hardest times. We know that when Paul wrote Philippians chapter 4, Paul was in prison. He was in a prison cell. He was in chains when he wrote this particular part of Scripture under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He was in prison himself. Paul didn't have his freedom. He didn't have what other people had at the time who were free. And yet, in the middle of this very challenging time, Paul was content. Paul had a peace that could only come from Jesus Christ. And here's what he says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I'd like to have us put that on the screen, that particular portion of Scripture. And I love this portion of Scripture that Paul says these words. He says that I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. The secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry. I have learned the secret of being content, whether I'm living in plenty or in want. And Paul says, here's the, and it's found in verse 13 where he says this. He says, I can do everything through him, through Jesus, who gives me strength. If you want to know the secret, Paul says, of being content, whether you have a lot of stuff or whether you have nothing, here it is. The secret of true contentment is through Jesus Christ. Because Paul says, I can get through anything. I can do everything. I can do all this through him, through Jesus, who gives me strength. So if we want to find out how to be content in hard times, here it is. Paul says it. He says it to us today, to focus on Jesus Christ, and he will see you through the most difficult times. Now, we have gone through some very difficult times in my own life. I've talked about my father developing dementia when I was 14 years old. It was a very challenging time, the death of both my parents. But as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, even through those times, I have learned to be content and to focus on Jesus. My mom had to be in a nursing home in the last years of her life. And I will tell you that she told her family many times that she hated being there. She said, "I don't like the food, and the next time they bring me something I don't like, I'm going to send it back." She said, "I might even throw it on the floor." Because she hated it. She hated being there in that place. She hated the food. And she told me that the more she focused on how bad things were, the worse she felt. So she said, "I've got to do something." So she was a follower of Jesus Christ. And so she asked our family to do this. She said, "Would you go?" And she said, "It might sound strange, but would you go and would you put Philippians 4, 12 and 13 on my wall? Would you buy me a frame and would you put it over my bed so that I can look at Philippians 4, 12 and 13 every day? And when I get up and when I think about how bad things are and how much I don't like the food at this nursing home, I can look at those words from the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, 12 and 13, and I can soak in those words day after day. Those words that said the secret of being content, and the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, is Jesus Christ. That's what she wanted to focus on day after day. She said, "Please put it in my room." And so what we did was we got a frame, and we put Philippians 4, 12, and 13 on her wall of her nursing home so that every single day she could see those words. And here's what she did. My mom focused on that scripture every single day. And she told me later that that scripture was the key to her contentment, because she focused on those words and the Holy Spirit helped her to internalize the words of that scripture. And she began to realize, no, things aren't perfect. I may hate the food at the nursing home. But she started to be content, because she realized the secret was to focus on Jesus Christ. And when we focus on Jesus Christ in the middle of something that's terrible, that's hard, He can help us to find true peace. Because the true peace is not in the circumstances. The true peace is in Jesus. Amen? That's where we find true contentment. And that's by focusing on Christ. Whether we're well-fed or hungry, as we focus on Him, we can find that true peace, that true contentment in our lives. I'm going to share with you a story that you may know, but it's one that's had a great impact on my life as I think about this story, because it's a powerful story of finding that peace and that contentment in Jesus. And it's in the 1800s. A man named Horatio Spafford. You may know this story. He was a wealthy American Christian lawyer. And he was a man who was not only a lawyer, he sold real estate. And he was quite wealthy because of all the real estate that he sold. The year was 1871. And in Chicago, there were some very devastating fires. And it took out most of Horatio Spafford's real estate. He lost most everything he had. And he experienced great financial distress in 1871. That very same year, he had a 4-year-old son who died. In that same year. And then in 1873, Horatio Spafford planned a vacation trip to England with his wife and four daughters. He wanted to vacation. He wanted to rest. And so he was going to go on a trip with his wife and four daughters on a ship across the ocean to England. And you may know this story. But right before he was to go on the trip, last minute, he had some business that he had to attend to. So he told his wife and four daughters, he said, "You go on ahead of me. You go ahead on the ship to England ahead of me." So he sent them on without him. And the story is that that ship that they were on, his wife and four daughters, collided with another ship. And the story is that that ship sank in 12 minutes. Around 200 lives were lost. And Horatio Spafford's wife sent him a telegram that is now famous. And it only had two words written on it. And here were the words. Just two words. And the two words were saved alone. That was the telegram that Horatio Spafford's wife sent to him where he was, that she was the only one left because his four daughters had died when that ship sank. And the story is that there was another ship that took Horatio Spafford to be with his wife because his wife was taken to Wales, which is in the area of Europe. In that area, so he wanted to be with her, so he got on another ship to be with his wife. And the story is that as he was going to the place to meet his wife, the captain took him out on the deck of that ship and showed him the spot where his daughters had drowned. And right where his daughters drowned, Horatio Spafford wrote the words to this hymn we're going to sing in just a few minutes. And could you put those words on the screen, Tom? He wrote the words to "It Is Well With My Soul." Even though he had experienced tragedy, even though all four of his daughters had died, he was in financial distress. His son had died 2 years earlier. He went out on that place where his daughters died, and he wrote these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou, God, you have taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." You see, his contentment did not come based on his circumstances, because his circumstances weren't good. He'd lost about all he had financially. He'd lost his son, and now he'd lost all his daughters. And yet, in the middle of all his tragedy that he experienced, he was able to say, "It is well with my soul." You see, his contentment came from knowing Jesus as his Savior and Lord. And that's where our contentment comes, not from our circumstances, not from how good this day is or how bad it is. But our true contentment comes from knowing Jesus Christ and focusing our lives on Him. So I want to ask this question today. It's a question for all of us. Are we experiencing true commitment, contentment in our lives? Do we have that peace in the middle of life's storms? No matter how much money we have, do we still have that contentment that's greater than money? No matter how bad the day gets, and the day can always get worse, do we have that contentment that is beyond circumstances? That contentment in knowing Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord in our lives? Are we focusing on Him no matter what we face? Because if we focus on Jesus Christ, like the Apostle Paul and like Horatio Spafford, we can be content no matter what our circumstances are. It is possible to have that kind of contentment if we focus on Jesus. Amen. With God's help, let's always find our contentment in Jesus Christ. And all of God's people together said, Amen. That beautiful song this morning called It Is Well With My Soul. And I really appreciate Rick being willing to serve today to honor God with his music. So he's going to lead us in the piano, and then Carol will come and lead us in the singing of that beautiful song. But I always want, when I stand in this pulpit, to give an invitation that there may be somebody here today that does not know that contentment. I have been in hospital rooms as a pastor where people have said to me, no, I don't want your prayers. I don't want you to be in this room. And they've asked me to leave. And I think to myself, how in the world can someone get through something like being in the hospital facing death and not have that peace and contentment in their hearts? I don't understand how that can happen. But there are people in this world that seek their contentment in other ways. They do it through drugs and alcohol. They do it through pleasures that last just for a moment. But today, you can know that kind of contentment in your heart that's a peace that the Word tells us passes human understanding. And you can know that peace by receiving Jesus into your heart and life today. So if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't know that deep contentment that you can have no matter what problem you face, I want to encourage you to receive Jesus today. We'll pray with you today. We'll pray for you as you make that greatest decision to follow Christ. But I want to invite you today, if the Lord is talking to you, it's not the pastor, it's the Holy Spirit. And so I want to invite you in just a moment to come forward if you don't know Christ as your Savior. You've never made that commitment to walk with Him. Perhaps there's somebody today here who's struggling. You're struggling mentally. You have a problem in your life and you need prayer. You need support from your brothers and sisters in Christ. We would love to pray with you today if you need special prayer. If you're struggling with something today, we'd love to pray with you and for you. If you want to know Jesus more in a deeper way, we'd love to pray with you today. If there's anything we can do, I want to invite you in just a moment to come as we stand and sing this beautiful song. If the Lord has laid something on your heart, we want to invite you today to come. So let's stand together and sing, It Is Well With My Soul. And please come if the Lord is speaking to you today. Let's raise the volume.
I just wanted to share this morning, I have lots of books that talk about the songs, and I love all the hymns and the stories. I do them oftentimes in my children's story. But the year my father passed away, when he was 85 years old, it was not well with my soul. And since then, it's been very hard for me to sing at funerals. If you notice, for my husband's funeral, we had one him, and that's because my kids forced me to have one. But I was at a funeral this week. Loretta went along with me, and after the funeral, they played It Is Well With My Soul. And for the first time for me, it was well with my soul, because that's coming to my time in my life, and I'm glad I can sing It Is Well With My Soul.
Thank you so much. It's not easy. It's not easy, is it? We go through some really rough times, and the only way we can do that is by focusing on the Lord. Amen. That's the only way we can get through those hard times in our lives. That's the only way that it can truly be well with our soul. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I just thank you so much for helping us to focus on you. It's not easy as we have storms that come up. We don't know when those storms are going to happen. And sometimes a problem gets a lot worse than we've ever expected. But we're so thankful that if we focus ourselves on you in the middle of that storm, you will truly help us to know that it is well with our soul. Father, I thank you now for being with us as we go from this place. And Father, I pray that as we leave this place, you would take us safely to wherever we're going. And Lord, help us to focus on you no matter where we go. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ what we offer this prayer. And together, all of God's people said, amen.